Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy Old Man in His Own Attic, episode 83. Wilbon, we're going to start today with live sports. We're going to start with the golf at Hilton Head. I understand it's just the first round. I understand it's not a major. But Jordan Spieth, on his second nine, he shot a 29. You and I are usually there after five holes. He shot a 29. He had seven birdies. He had two pars. You know, he finished with eight birdies, and he was only minus five because he had a triple in there. But is this a sign that Spieth is back?
No. He did this almost last week. He just did this in the first tournament back. No, he's gotten off to a lot of great starts. And for whatever reason, Tony, been unable to sustain that. Okay, first of all, nobody's really going to sustain 29 over 9. I mean, he might do that two or three times in a career, even a guy like Jordan Spieth. Shoot, I mean, breaking 60. No, we're not expecting that. But, Tony, can he sustain this for four rounds? I mean, I remember turning on the television last Sunday and going, where's Spieth? Where's Varner? And they both just sort of receded. So this would be great for golf if Jordan Spieth, who's very popular and very likable and a three-time major champion, could sort of pull it back to that point where he was then. But is this nine holes in professional golf is a sign of nothing?
So I really like Jordan Spieth. I find myself rooting for him. In his first 5 years as a pro, he won 10 tournaments. He won three majors, a fantastic start. The last 2 years, he hasn't won anything. He doesn't even have any seconds. And as you say, on the weekends, he's been bad. At Colonial, he was one over in a final round, as was Rory, as was Justin Thomas. But there was a point in time with Jordan Spieth that he was ahead of all the other Americans. He's ahead of Fowler. He was ahead of Koepka. He was ahead of Dustin Johnson, ahead of Justin Thomas. So that has sort of stopped. I don't know, like you, well, not like you, because you say it doesn't mean anything. I don't know if it means anything. But I do know this. I knew he struck the ball so well that in that seven birdie range, that I think the longest putt he had to make was just under 8 feet. So, you know, I hope it works. I like him. I do. I don't think you like him as much as I do. I think that's true.
I like him. I don't know that I like him more than Justin Thomas or Dustin Johnson. I don't like him anymore. He's in that group, Koepka, Gary Woodland. I like all those guys. They're entertaining. They've lifted the level of play from maybe what it was overall on tour 4 or 5 years ago. These guys have come into they're coming into their age now. They're not even near their primes yet. Dustin Johnson is. But Tony, Saturday means something. Let's see where he is Saturday and into Sunday. Thursday, the first nine holes, they don't mean anything if you have just played this way and you can't sustain it. Second.
So he got a triple. You and I get triples all the time. Like, pros don't get triples. If he pars that hole, just pars it, he's minus eight. The thing with Spieth, it's sort of the same thing that I look at with Rory McIlroy. Do you remember Patrick Harrington? I think he won three majors in about a year, and then he won nothing else. Are these guys, or McIlroy or Spieth, are they built for the long haul? Are they built for 5, 6, 7, 8 majors, something like that? If you don't, if you shoot one over on Sunday, the answer is no.
Deal,
so you're right. It's Sunday. Yeah. It's Sunday. Yeah. Yes, it's Sunday.
Yeah.
Sure.
At least get me to Leighton around on Saturday so you can get in there and be in the final group on Sunday. Tony, the Carolina Panthers, moving to pro football, put out a Twitter poll last night asking fans to choose the franchise's greatest of all time, the GOAT. The choices, Julius Peppers, Steve Smith, Luke Kuechly. You got anybody missing from that group, Tone? Maybe the recently released 2015 most valuable player of the league, Cam Newton. How would you feel if you were Cam at being entirely left out of that poll?
So I don't know how he left Carolina. I don't know if he left it bloody or not. There's a new owner, different from the owner when he was drafted and was the MVP. There's a new coach, different from the coach when he was drafted and he was the MVP. I'm not knocking those guys. They are wonderful players. But Cam Newton led a team to 15-1, led him to the Super Bowl, was the MVP, I believe, is their all-time leader in passing touchdowns and rushing touchdowns. I believe I'm right in that. Now, Mike, they invented the game. They didn't just have three. They could have had four. It's their game. So it looks like a deliberate shot at Cam Newton, does it not?
You know how players say stuff is political? And often it really isn't political. It may be something else. There could be direct bias, but political. This is political. And by the way, not only am I not going to slam those three guys, a couple of those guys I think have a real shot at going to the Hall of Fame. I don't know about Kuechly. They got a shot at going to the Hall of Fame. They would be ahead of Cam Newton in sort of the career voting because they played a little longer. Julius Peppers a long time. Steve Smith a long time. But Tony, come on. You can't have this. You cannot have a poll. The poll is not credible. The poll comes off as completely fraudulent if Cam Newton's not on in the poll. Look, if people want to vote for somebody else, but they see Cam Newton's name, that's fine. But don't tell me Cam Newton has got to be a write-in, okay? Because in this election, Cam Newton's not some third-party dude. Cam Newton is part of the show. He led the show. So you can have those guys on there, and you can have Cam Newton. And then you have credibility. It just... I don't know. This, and I'm pointing directly at the owner. You can't leave Cam Newton off unless the owner knows what time it is. So I'm pointing directly at him.
So let me go to these other guys for a second, particularly Kuechly, who had a career, you know, cut short by injury. He was first team All Pro five times, Mike. Yeah. He went to seven Pro Bowls in 8 years. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Steve Smith went to five Pro Bowls. Julius Peppers went to five Pro Bowls with Carolina alone and played a much longer career than just in Carolina. Cam went to three. Cam was first team All-Pro only once. I agree with you, he's got to be on there. But those other guys, they're not chopped liver. The thing with Cam Newton, the larger story to me, Mike, he's not signed, right? He releases photographs of himself about how he's working out. Nobody signed him. So you have to ask this. One, is he asking too much money, which is possible? Or two, is he seen as a nuisance in some way? Is he seen as disruptive in some way? I don't know that, and I would not have thought that. Let us stay with pro football, something closer to home for you.
Real quickly, Tony, let me just mention,
Remember, Tony, in the
pandemic, people haven't been able to see him. So you're going to sign a franchise quarterback and pay him a lot of money. You got to see him. I don't think a troublemaker has anything to do with it. If he's healthy, somebody's got to know that. So I wouldn't put him in the Colin Kaepernick category in that owners are saying we don't want to touch this guy. No, I just think they got to see him.
Fair point. Totally fair point. Let me get back to the Bears because they're your account and you're responsible for them. Your new quarterback's coach, John DeFilippo, he's got Mitch Trubisky and he's got Nick Foles competing. He says the starter needs to have, and I quote here, passion, energy, and swagger, baby, unquote. Plus, quote, a little juice, unquote. Is your boy right on that?
You know, I think the best way for me to keep my temperature down lately is just to not think about the Bears and not think about all the stupid things that come out of Lake Forest, my team, since I was 5 years old. That's more than 50 years, Tony. And when it comes to quarterback, all we ever have is anguish. And this statement that you have to have swagger. You know, Baker Mayfield's got a lot of swagger. How many playoff games has he won? This is stupid. Swagger, when it matters, comes organically. Swagger comes when you win something. Win! Win, baby! Just win. I'm going to borrow that phrase. Wasn't that Al Davis's phrase? Just win, baby.
Yes, it was.
So what are you talking about? When it comes to quarterback, there's one quarterback for me in my lifetime, Jim McMahon. That's it. Everybody else, please stop. I don't want to hear about swagger. Complete the damn pass in the flat that leads to a touchdown that beats the cheese heads, and then you can walk off the field with swagger. Until then, all this other stuff is window dressing, is junk, and it angers me.
So let me get to this quote again by John DeFilippo.
Don't read it again.
Starter needs to have, quote, passion, energy, and swagger, baby.
How about accuracy?
Plus, a little juice. Okay. So this is foolishness to even say something like this.
So
person
stupid.
Who says this at a party Other people look at him and they go, who's this guy? What? Who invited this guy in? You know, if I assume this is aimed at Trubisky, by and large, you know, to sort of motivate him. But Nick Foles, I don't know that Nick Foles has swagger. If he has it, he only has it in Philadelphia, because in Jacksonville, he didn't have it. I hate that word swagger. It reminds me of Swaggy P, Nick Young, who I just, he made me nuts. I mean, there are people who naturally have it. You know, Mahomes has it. Brady has it. Brett Favre. You know, but
what have those guys
other
done?
People win Super
what
Bowls.
What did they do before they had the
Super
identifiable
Bowls.
Swagger? They won lots of games.
They won.
They won some playoff
they
games.
Won. Yeah, Eli Manning doesn't have particular swagger, and he won two Super Bowls. You know who else had swagger? Your boy Jay Cutler. How'd he do with the Bears?
He did.
He had swagger.
He did. Let me throw a quote from Jay Cutler back out there to refresh people's memories, including yours, because you took his side on this. My arm is stronger than John Elway's. A dumber sentence never been uttered. A more irrelevant sentence has never been uttered in the history of pro football than the guy wearing number 6 to say, my arm is stronger than John Elway's. Thank you very much for playing the game. I'm going to utter a sentence now that I hate to utter, but the producers literally have my arm behind my back. Let's move to the horsies. Tony, the Belmont Stakes, which is usually the third leg of the Triple Crown, will run this weekend as the first of the Triple Crown events, with the Kentucky Derby having been postponed until September. Preakness Stakes moved to October. NBC's Mike Tirico, our dear friend, says, quote, essentially, this is the biggest event in sports in 4 months, close quote. Tone, in a world with hardly any sports, does this weekend's Belmont Stakes, does it have any swagger?
So I'm totally prepped on this because on my podcast yesterday, I had Chuck Culpepper of the Washington Post, who was covering the Belmont. And I've been to a bunch of Belmonts, as you know, and I like the Triple Crown, as you know. Let me explain something. As you said, the Belmont is being run first, and it's normally run third. It's being run at a mile and an eighth, and it is normally the true classic test at a mile and a half. The Triple Crown itself is usually 3 races in 5 weeks, and now it is 3 races in 15. So even if 'tis the law, which seems to be the favorite, even if it wins all of these races, to me, this is not a legitimate Triple Crown because it's out of order. Everything is sort of wacky about it. No, it's not a legitimate. No, I would not count this as a legitimate Triple Crown because of the inversion in the entire 3 races. I'll tell you something else too. And I don't know what horses think. They're horses. I don't know if they care about fans. But if you go to the Belmont,
I don't know what horses think.
And there are no
fans. What are you,
fans,
the guy who owns Mr. Ed? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
You will.
But I'm just saying
you
that when you go to the Belmont, the crowd is very important, particularly if it's a Triple Crown situation. If it's, you know, if it's going to confirm the best horse in the world at that point. There's a roar that comes out at the top of the stretch at Belmont, a big guttural New York roar. That's going to be absent. That also takes away from this. And as I just said, the Belmont is the race that confirms greatness. It's not first, Mike, and it's not a mile and an eighth. It's like, I'm happy to watch it, but it's not, it's never the beginning of the Triple Crown. As you would say, it's junk. Shut up. That's all I have.
The only person who's exhibited more spoiled behavior than you this week is Kyrie Irving. Here you are, king of the horsey hype, every year for the past 19 years on PTI and 20 years before that at the Washington Post. I have had to endure you acting like the horses are the most important thing in the universe, these 3 races. And now, Mr. Horsey Hype,
yeah,
you're telling me it doesn't even matter. You know what? Just for that, I'm going to watch. I never watch.
I'm going to watch it.
Except if there's a Triple Crown on the line, I'm going to watch. I know you'll be watching.
You made a wise decision.
I will.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your goldfish to sing Bizet's Carmen?
Imagine it, you are.
There's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Ready for the happies. I got the props. I got the glasses. I got the yellow legal pad. Here we go. Happy 81st birthday, Lou Brock, the Hall of Fame outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals. Two times a World Series champion, eight times the National League stolen base leader. It was Brock's record that Ricky Henderson broke. On June 15th, 1964, Brock was traded from the Cubs to the Cardinals for Ernie Broglio. Brock was about to turn 25 and he was hitting 251. Broglio was 18-8 the year before and won 21 games a few years before that. So it looked like a steal, and it was the other way. The Cubs would get only seven victories out of Broglio. Brock went on to hit 348 the rest of that year and led the Cardinals to the World Championship. When he retired from St. Louis in 1979, Brock had 3,023 hits and 938 stolen bases. Brock for Broglio is often referred to as the most lopsided trade in baseball history. The Emil Verbin Society, an association of Cubs fans in the Washington, D.C. area, occasionally recognizes bad decision-making with the Brock for Broglio Judgment Award. Saddam Hussein got it in 1990 for invading Kuwait, Wilbon.
If you're a Cub fan, and I am, as long as I've been a Bears fan, you have to grow up with this. There's two things that you can't get rid of. One, the Bears quarterbacks stink, except for Jim McMahon. And two, Brock, Lou Brock, they didn't just trade him and another team won the World Series. They traded him and the Cardinals won the World Series. This is like trading somebody to the Packers and having that guy lead the pack, the cheeseheads, to the Super Bowl. You can't live with this. We've had to live with it. And Lou Brock, man. That's you. You got my day off to a really, really, really bad start or ending up badly. Bears quarterbacks, Lou Brock. Thank you very much.
Makes me happy. I'm so grateful that I'm able
I'm
to
sure
win
it does.
The day. Not so happy anniversary, Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson. On this day, 43 years ago, the Yankee manager and star right fielder got into a heated dugout altercation in the middle of a nationally televised game against the Red Sox. The belligerent Martin tried to fight Jackson after Jackson played a Jim Rice single a little too casually, turning it into a double, putting runners on second and third with one out. Martin yanked Jackson in the middle of the inning, embarrassing the future Hall of Famer who led the Yankees to the World Championship that postseason, earning the name Mr. October. Some 36 years later, Jackson told Bryant Gumbel on Real Sports that Martin had alcohol on his breath and called him boy. I covered that team. The divisions caused by Martin and Jackson were a mile wide, and still they won. I was on Reggie's side, but most of the players were on Billy's, even though he was mean and he liked to pick on weakness wherever he saw it. Reggie would end up with 563 homers and five championships. Billy would resign the next July, get brought back the year after that, and then get fired by the man who brought him back, George Steinbrenner. What a circus that was.
Tony, was that Elston Howard between Martin and Jackson? Is that who that was?
Yes.
Is that Ellie Howard?
And then Yogi Berra. First Ellie Howard and then Yogi Berra.
God.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Look, I didn't get to know. Reggie Jackson, I inherited, thank you, a relationship that you had with Reggie Jackson. Reggie was nice to me because of you, and I appreciate it. But I wish Billy Martin, he might have gotten off the first swing, but he was given away about, I don't know, 2 or 3 inches and about 40 pounds of rock muscle to Reggie Jackson. I'd have paid to see that one. I really would have. And I know Billy Martin was mean as a snake, but I would like to have seen that fight.
Happy trails to the long wait to see what Rob Gronkowski looks like in a Bucks uniform. He looks okay. He doesn't look as good as Tom Brady. Nobody does. You can stop calling on that. That part is filled. Gronkowski is photographed in the red jersey in his customary pose, getting ready to spike the ball. Photographed in the pewter jersey, flexing and grinning, which he did in the WWE. And he's photographed in profile in the white jersey, apparently thinking, which seems new to him. Upon seeing the photographs, Gronkowski said, quote, "Wow, look at that, baby. That's beautiful, man," unquote, showing off his extensive descriptive powers. The Bucks released 50 photographs of Gronkowski, 9 more than they released of Brady, indicating Brady had had enough at 41 and Gronk was just getting started. One reason the Bucks may have taken so many photos of Gronkowski is to have a complete set for the archives when Gronk realizes about 10 practices in that he really doesn't like football anymore, which is why he retired in the first place. Meanwhile, show us more photos of Brady.
Don't try to take my position that Gronk doesn't want to be Gronk anymore. It's hard to be Gronk, and I told you that the day he came back. I'm not expecting him necessarily automatically to be the Hall of Fame player that we know he has been. I'm tired of pictures of football players in New Jerseys. I mean, we at PTI should be better than that. We should be able to sit here and talk like men about something really important, like, will Dak get his money? We ought to be able to do that and leave the pictures of these guys in the Photoshop. And with that, I'm
really
having the last
like
word.
The
I knew you would like the word. No more photos.
I do.
All right?
I do.